it just wasn't working with the corporate job. I kind of came home from work the one day and said, we've got to figure something out here because I can't wait for someone else's permission to come home and look after my family. I said, right, this is what I want to do. We'll get married. I'll quit my job. I'll join the academy. Let's go. Almost immediately, we found out we were pregnant with Quinn. So talk about the pressure being on.
40 grand a month turnover with about how much profit?
We will be comfortably over 12 this month.
What I want to talk to you about is how you've taken a small pot of money and recycled it using the buy, refurbish, refinance strategy. Yeah. Because that's just amazing.
And I honestly thought I'd invented the money printer because I was using the same money to buy other properties then cash flowing a grand each.
You've got the fast pound with the rent to rents, but then you've also got the slow pound with the BRRs.
It's been hands down the best 12 months of my life. I can say that easily.
Congratulations on your huge success.
Thank you.
And the birth of your first child.
He is, yeah, Quinn.
And turning over crazy amounts of money in property, 40 grand a month turnover with about how much profit?
We will be comfortably over 12 this month. And nice. Going forward, I'd hope that that would be a slow month.
And you've now got what, 10 properties?
We'll have 12 online as of this month, 14 online as of next, and more in the pipeline.
What I want to talk to you about a lot is how you've taken a small pot of money and recycled it using the buy, refurbish, refinance strategy, because that's just amazing. I'm really excited about people actually growing wealth. And you're doing that. You've got the slow pound, you've got the fast pound. So talk to me about, how did this all start?
A good few years ago now, before we had crossed paths, I had done a small development, kind of just a fix and flip. And I had some money lying around from that and decided I needed to find out what the best way to invest that was. And started Googling, started going down YouTube rabbit holes, found yourself back in 2018, that would have been. So I went to one of your training courses and I had in mind that I thought, HMO might be the road to go down. And then I started to find out the restrictions that were in place around our area. But it was really when people first started mentioning serviced accommodation. So I came away from the course thinking, well, I think I want to give that a go. I can start with a smaller amount of money, but get similar kind of returns. Mm-hmm. And yeah, started shopping around, found a place in Worcester that actually fit the bill quite well, needed some work. I managed to get some outside investment from a family member who business partnered with me on that one. And within 6 months, we had refinanced that, took our original investment out, and we're making, I'd say, between £1,000 and £1,500 a month profit on that.
And what was that? Was that just a purchase or was that a rent to rent?
No, that was a straight purchase.
So yes. You just bought it and rented out in serviced accommodation?
That's right, yeah. After we'd refurbed it, added some value, and then took our initial investment straight back out.
So you combined the buy refurbish with the serviced accommodation strategy?
That's exactly right.
Do you have any regular tenants on AST contracts or are all of your tenants guests?
They are all guests now. I had tried with regular tenants previously and I can tell you now I find the serviced accommodation guests far less hassle to deal with than regular tenants.
I went into an estate agency. I said to them, I was looking to buy properties to do a serviced accommodation. I was actually in Birmingham at the time. And they said to me, oh, serviced accommodation, short stay lets is a nightmare to manage. And I said, well, you need systems and processes, but it's way more cash flow. And not only is it way more cash flow, but the tenants are guests, so they don't have the right. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about evictions and stuff. And he was just like, la, 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 la. Like, really hated, really hostile towards the strategy, which really surprised me.
Well, we built a business around it. And at the end of the day, that's what it is. It comes with the same headaches you would get, I guess, with a normal business dealing with customers and customer service and things. But yeah, it's not easy. It's not necessarily straightforward, but it's extremely lucrative if you do it right. The cash flow can be amazing. And yeah, you've just got to run it professionally, I suppose.
I've seen some of your properties. Your penthouse in Birmingham is amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
I've been trying to book there for months, but it's so fully booked.
Yeah. Well, actually, I've just stayed there for the first time myself for my wife's first wedding anniversary. So,
oh, beautiful.
I'd love to have you there, but I've had trouble getting in myself.
Yeah, it's not easy. Yeah. It's, when you've got properties, so sometimes I've had a lot of academy members as well that have bought a property on the beach or something. They've said, we'll rent it out as a short stay lets, but then whenever we want, we'll stay there. And then 3 years later, I'm like, have you been there yet? Nope.
No.
It's just fully booked.
Yeah.
So you're fix and flip, which was prior to any training you did with me, prior to being on the academy.
Yeah.
Talk me through that. How much did you buy it for?
The figures on that were, I bought it for, I think, 135 at the time, chipped away at it, gradually fixed it up. And then I think we got it refinanced at 170. So I had roughly about £40,000 ready to invest.
Yeah.
And that was what went into our first service accommodation. I actually put the offer in on the place, got accepted, and then someone matched it with a cash offer. So the estate agent came back and said, look, they want to do the business with you, but can you do it cash? So I turned around to my family and said, look, I'm going to refinance this money out. Give me 6 months. I'll give it you back with interest. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to let it by the night. And I think they thought I was nuts. But I am extremely blessed to come from a very, very supportive family. So I think even though they didn't necessarily see what I saw at that time, they backed me and everything I said about it, we pulled off and got the money back out. And then we recycled that into the next serviced accommodation apartment. So at that point, I honestly thought I'd invented the money printer because I was using the same money to buy other properties then cash flowing a grand and a half each property. And that worked amazing for us as a business until COVID. Things obviously slowed down with what was going on there. We kept the lights on, we ticked over, but it was more like regular tenanted money coming in rather than the...
Why did things slow down over COVID? Because your property market was still open.
It was just getting guests through the door. So obviously business travel and things like that had slowed down.
That was tough.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the buying process.
No. Funnily enough, we carried on buying,
right.
But for doing fix and flips at that time. So that was kind of another area of the business we continued to grow despite what was going on there. But in terms of a kind of a tourist-led business, things obviously ground to a bit of a halt.
Yeah, well, Airbnb was closed, Booking.com was closed. You literally had to completely change your model.
I mean, we were lucky at the time that there was still, solicitors still had to try cases and there was other things that were going on. So we did, like I said, we kept the lights on, so to speak. We didn't lose money. But that led me to basically, rather than keep my eyes on the property, growing our property business, I kind of focused on my corporate career instead and carried on with that. We came out of the other side of COVID and things started to cycle back up. I was so busy with my regular job at the time. I was account management, so kind of sales really.
Yeah.
And once things started to cycle back up, I'd proposed to my now wife, Sophie, you've just met with Quinn. We were planning on getting married this August. We would have just gone past what was supposed to be our first wedding anniversary. But unfortunately, we had some bad news about a family member's health. So we made the call, right, we've just got to get this done quickly. So we kind of went to arrange a full-scale wedding in the space of 3 months. And it just wasn't working with the corporate job. And I wasn't able to put the time in that I needed at home and with the other things that were going on in order to make that happen, really. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't leave Sophie on her own to do it. So I kind of came home from work the one day and said, we've got to figure something out here because I can't wait for someone else's permission to come home and look after my family. So revisit the academy, spoke to some of your guys, said, right, this is what I want to do. We'll get married. I'll quit my job. I'll join the academy and let's go. So basically kind of a little bit on a wing and a prayer and a bit of faith and the support of Sophie and lots of other things. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So got back from our honeymoon, did the first academy training just over a year ago now in September. And almost immediately we found out we were pregnant with Quinn. So talk about the pressure been on, just no job, no income, new family, new house, all this stuff. And we just had to really decide to make it work with the academy.
How did you justify investing so much in your education and network and training when you were on such, you've got the wedding costs coming up, you're quitting your job. How did you justify that?
Because I just did know in my heart that it was what we needed to do in order to have the freedom to look after each other, be a family, and ultimately kind of live the kind of life that we wanted as well.
Mm.
I think I had it in there somewhere that I knew that I had to kind of chart my own course, basically. And again, like I say, with the support that Sophie gave me, I think that when I was trying to explain rent to rents to people, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start getting money in straight away. The serviced accommodation that we've done with buying places before, we're going to do that. We're going to rent it off a landlord and see if we can get cash flow from that. And you are met with a level of skepticism from people. But also, again, I have to say the support that I had around me, I think people just believed in me to get it done. So off we went, really. And then a few months down the line, no money coming in, still working on the first deal, waiting for it to come through, get to near enough Christmas before we get our first one online. And then things just really took off from there. All of a sudden, it just started to snowball, really, and more started coming through to us. We started working quicker through them, getting them online. So then we had the first one, then the penthouse. Then we started working in development in the Jewellery Quarter in Birmingham, where we have four luxury properties there now that we I'm on service accommodation. From there, really, landlords and investors started to come to us to ask if we could help with their property. So we've worked out some really interesting strategies to make the most out of them, especially with the market at the minute. Landlords that are having to reach the end of their fixed term are finding all of a sudden they're potentially underwater. So what can they be doing instead? Well, we'll come in, and Sophie is in charge of kind of the staging and the creative. So she'll come in, she'll put a mood board together and a plan to how we can make this kind of a boutique or a luxury property. And then if we get the handshake from them, in I come with the team, and we'll get it up and running within the space of a few weeks, really, and cash flowing almost immediately.
The thing I love about your business model is you've got the fast pound with the rent to rents, mm-hmm. which is giving quick, immediate cash flow. But then you've also got the slow pound with the BRRs,
yeah.
which obviously takes time.
Yes.
To buy a property and to refurb it, mm-hmm. refinance it. The whole process is quite slow. What do you think you're better at? Are you better at buy, refurbish, refinance, or service accommodation, rent to rent?
I think that we have drilled down so much on the finer points of the service accommodation business. And to be honest with you, it's amazing that we can do it together. It's something we're actually both really passionate about, and we love that as a business. The BRR, it's nice to see the end result, and it's certainly nice to see the money hit the bank, but it can be a grind. We're working on quite a big project at the minute that we've worked with some investors on, and there's been some bumps in the road on that, let's say. It started off well and seems to have tailed off a touch.
But there always is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's normal, hiccups.
Yeah, funnily enough as well, whenever me and Sophie sit down to start a new project, we kind of have this talk that we always have. It's like, expect the problems. We know this is going to be hard. There's no point in us moaning to each other that this is difficult right now. We know we're going to do something difficult. Yeah. So figure it out. Let's go through it.
And what was it about that property that attracted you to buy it?
To be totally honest with you, it's our family home at the minute. Okay. So I saw the potential for us to not only hopefully make some money back for some investors who have come on board with us, not only take some money out for ourselves, but then also we can kind of make of it what we want and create a space to grow our family in.
As long as every time you spend a pound, you're adding £3 worth of value.
I mean, I put a very stringent investor pack based on actually the very first training that we did with yourself. In my view, it was why we bought the property. It was airtight, really. The numbers really stacked up. It was a deal that worked every day of the week. So why not make the most of it for ourselves?
Yeah. So what would you say is your strongest reason for this then? Because you put your neck on the line, quitting your job, baby on the way.
It started off with my family, for sure. It started off with I wanted to be there for Sophie, and considering we had some of the health concerns in the family, to be available for that. And then it became more about my family, because then Quinn came into the picture and we knew we were expecting our first, and I had to make something of it, if not for that alone. But along the way too, we brought other family members into what we're doing. So my dad was actually one of my first investors that we business partnered with, the first property. I have other family members now that have invested in the serviced accommodation business that are making a handsome cash flow per month. And there's other people that we've been able to help around us. And ultimately, it means that I can take whatever time I need to go and get the vaccinations with Quinn, or I can take this appointment, or Sophie can go do this during the week and I can be at home with the baby, which is where I want to be right now when he's so young.
I mean,
so
running a normal life and having a business and having a job, job takes up a lot of time.
Yeah. In fact, to be totally honest with you, I'd take my hat off to people that manage to have a family and then leave the house at 8 and get back at 6 and still have the energy to do anything else outside of that.
Yeah, it's hard. So was it the right decision then, quitting your job?
1,000,000%. We've never looked back. In fact, like I say, we've just had our first wedding anniversary, and it's the time you take to reflect, really. So a year ago, we just got married, honeymoon, academy, and we look at kind of the dozen or so properties that we've got online, the construction projects that we've accomplished, but also the stuff that we've done ourselves and the time we've been able to put into our relationship, the traveling, you know, having the baby, and the time we spent with our family as well, all of that. It's been hands down the best 12 months of my life. I can say that easily.
What have been some of the biggest learning points over the last 12 months of your Matt? Because you've been in property a little while now. You came on my first course, I think, beginning of 2018, went away, did a few bits and bobs, but then it was really just 2022. And the last 12 months, you've absolutely had exponential growth, not just your business, but also your profits. What were you making like 18 months ago
in property. That's probably a bad time to ask because of the pandemic. Before the pandemic, we were making probably about $3,000-ish per month.
Okay, that's good.
Off two properties, yeah, which was, you know, handy. A lot of people would be very happy with that. I certainly was.
There were two, like, BRRs that you'd bought.
That's it, yeah. And then serviced accommodation them. After the pandemic, they started to tick back up. I'd say maybe a grand and a half because we had a management company managing them because I was working full time. And then after that, with each property that we've added on, we've aimed to bring another, let's say, grand and a half to our cash flow per month. For example, the penthouse that you bought before last month, that made us £2,700 on its own.
Wow. Yeah. So what would you say, the last 12 months, biggest learning points?
You've just got to be relentless. I think the position that we put ourselves in was that there was no other option. There was no fallback. And what am I going to do about, our son or our family if I don't make this work? So just no one cares, work harder and just go and go and go. And eventually we just always found a way. I think that we found levels that we could reach of just like grit and determination that we didn't know we could reach. But I think you can't do it otherwise.
What have been some of the hardest points over the last 12 months?
The toughest spot for me was for sure when we knew that we were pregnant with Quinn, but we hadn't got that first property online and I was working really hard to get that done. We were all pulling in the same direction. The landlord wanted to work, the agent wanted to work, the deal source wanted to make it work. But because there were so many, I guess, chefs in the kitchen, this guy was on holiday, so this got to wait for 2 weeks and this. Yeah. And the process that I was hoping would take like a fortnight ended up taking 6-7 weeks until we finally got there. And that became stressful then because you know that it could potentially fall out of bed at any minute as well. So if I just spent a month working on something that we're not going to get quite finished, but yeah, once we got there.
In terms of management then, so you've got, at the moment, 10 properties. It's about to become 14.
It's 10 online, two that we are just putting the finishing touches on that will be coming available in the next 2 weeks. And then deals done on another two that we'll be moving straight onto once these projects are completed.
So how are you managing those properties then? Your wife helps a lot with that.
Yes.
But how does that work? What does that look like? Have you got cleaners? Have you got automation things? Have you employed somebody? Yeah. Do you have management companies?
We have got a fantastic cleaning team that we kind of subcontract that out. And then our guy that manages that company, Chris, has got his own team there and they do a fantastic job of managing all linens and cleans. And we've systemized it that we've got a complete hands-off approach when it comes to that, unless there's an issue that needs dealing with. Then we've got a really good CRM that we use to manage all the bookings coming through and what have you. And then we've actually just signed and we'll be moving today into some offices in the Jewellery Quarter in Birmingham.
Wow, yeah. Congrats.
And we are building a team out around that. So we've got a young girl that's come on board who's fantastic, who's taking care of kind of some of the customer service issues, getting back to guests and dealing with bits and pieces on the ground while I'm away doing business generating activities, hopefully. We've got kind of a bit of a team that's growing around the Worcester side of the business as well. So yeah, we're actively recruiting and hiring and building.
So you're going to have like an office staff in Birmingham?
We've got office staff and a lot of other subcontractors.
Why do you need all that stuff just to manage like the properties that you've got?
There's only so much that you can do on your own. I can't then grow the business anymore. I can't be putting proposals in front of investors or talking to people about the next projects that we got going when I'm constantly putting legs on sofas because they've broken a property or whatever else. So the easiest way for me to buy back my time was to hire someone in to do those roles. And the easiest thing straight away to get people on are kind of some of the maintenance issues that I was dealing with myself up until now, or the customer service stuff. In fact, to be totally honest with you, the handyman work and the customer service, there's better people out there than me. So by all means, you guys go take a look at that and I'll focus on growing the business.
Yeah. How many properties do you think that you, because you've got a whole, you're setting up a whole management arm as well, right?
Yes.
To manage other people's properties. So, hence why you're needing an office and staff.
That's right. Yeah. So big shout out to High Living Estates, actually. Charlotte and Shai, who we work very closely with. They do deal sourcing in Birmingham and their office is just around the corner from us. They've become good friends with us over the last 12 months.
And they've also been on Winners on a Wednesday.
Yes. We watched
on the Academy.
They don't know this. So the first time they'll be hearing this, their Winners on a Wednesday was the one that I showed Sophie before I said, I want to join the Academy.
Wow.
Say, can we join up? And then after that, they were one of the first calls I made to kind of start networking within the Academy.
That
and it's just gone from there.
All the time, yeah. People will say, oh, I watched so and so's Winners on a Wednesday, I then join the Academy, and then they'll end up doing business. Imagine all the people that will watch this video and then they'll end up being part of the community, doing business with you.
Well, I hope they do, and I'd love to pay that forward and help that the inspiration and the help and the support we got from Charlotte and Shai and other members of the Academy as well, I'd love for people to come and approach me and I'd happily...
Isn't it interesting though, Niall, how the community within the property space, certainly within our property space, is very much about helping other people. Because normally, if you're from the corporate background, in the corporate world or most professions, if you want to be successful, people that have been in the business a few years will try and keep you down.
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, it's really difficult. Oh, no, you need to prove your worth. But in this community, it's like someone new will be like, right, I want to get started. I haven't got any deals. Yeah. And people that are 6 months, 6 years ahead will pull them up, give them a leggy. What a beautiful thing that is.
Yeah, without a doubt. I have often said it to the people that have asked me about joining the academy. I would pay the money over again just for the network alone, outside of the training. You put a message in that group chat. I asked a question the other day about getting a particular bit of support on something. I'm inundated. My phone blows up with people messaging me privately saying, I can help with this, I can help with that. I can't tell you the amount of favours I've called in from people on the academy. And again, it's something that we like to try and pay forward to. So we try.
That's what it's about. I call it giver's gain. You know, you give, you take. You don't just come into the community to try and take. You give what you can, you give of yourself, and then you take a little as well.
And as time's gone on, we've kind of developed our expertise in the serviced accommodation stuff, and especially the premium high-end, the staging, and getting those kind of £100 a night up to £250 to £300 a night and making small tweaks in your approach to get that done. And that goes straight to the bottom line. Anything additional you make in revenue when it becomes your price per night, you basically put straight in your pocket. So people have come to us with help with that. How do we do it? And for Academy members especially, we're always happy to assist.
What would you say is the easiest way if someone was like brand new into the community, into the space, and they didn't have a big pot of money?
Yeah.
What do you think the quickest and easiest, fastest way is to get your foot in the door?
The best way I've seen people gain traction when they're coming in completely cold and without any money at all is to go and do some deal sourcing. Try and get some money in the bank from that. Say you sell 3-4 deals, all of a sudden you've got £5,000 to play with, and that's enough money to seed you your first 1 or 2 bed accommodation apartment, and off you go.
And on the academy, it ain't difficult to sell deals.
No, it isn't, no.
Especially if the deals are good deals.
Yeah.
And you can get them checked out, get them vetted. Mm-hmm. And then once you've got a bit of money, then what? Then partner with somebody or put it into a rent-to-rent or serviced accommodation?
I mean, I'm biased about it because I think we've seen so much success with serviced accommodation. And I know that if you do it right, there's a lot of money to be made in it. But yeah, I think just going straight for a rent-to-rent, then if you look into cash flow, and all of a sudden that relieves a bit of the pressure. So you can then, if you've got £1,500, maybe for your second one, £3,000 per month coming in, steady cash flow into your pocket, you can kind of lift your head up a little bit and think, right, where do I want to be longer term then, and start planning six months ahead of time rather than...
The thing is now, people will spend 40 years working on a job for £2,000 a month. Imagine if someone just said, you know what, I'm going to follow exactly what Niall just said. I'm going to try and sell 3 deals, get £6,000 in my account, get 2 or 3 rent to rent. How long's that going to take?
Yeah.
A month? 2 months? 6 months? If you go on a mission and say, I'm just going to follow that advice...
Yeah.
By the time you've achieved that, and it might be 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months, depending on how fast you are and the support that you've got, you don't need a job anymore.
Well, put it this way, within the space of 12 months, we managed to, I know we had a bit of a, it wasn't a complete cold start, but we went from a business that was bringing in maybe a couple of grand a month to, we're doing north of £40,000 per month now. This month we'll do comfortably £12,000 profit. I'm expecting that with what we've got going forward now to pick up considerably as well. So we've kind of got a goal where we want to reach by the end of the year. It's a bit of a lofty target, but I think that we're capable of doing it. We want to be £1 million turnover business within this calendar month. So we want to be doing at least 6-figure months regularly.
That's from when?
I intend to be up there by November.
That's crazy good. Where do you get like your furniture and stuff from?
Yeah, do you know, I think that you can get stuff that looks really high quality without spending an arm and leg on it. It's serviced accommodation, so there is going to be an element of wear and tear. You don't want to be spending £3,000 on a sofa that's going to take 12 weeks to come from a specific manufacturer. Places like Dahl, places like Dunelm is a good one as well. Yeah. They do unique sets that, you know, if you don't want to just spend bottom dollar on it and you just look a little bit to kind of the mid-range stuff there, you can get some really attractive looking stuff.
Yeah. Did you go to IKEA?
I do, but for finishing touches, the one thing that I do say to our investors, I say, look, this is Birmingham. This is where you're looking to invest. There's literally, it says thousands of Airbnbs here. If you're not on the top one or two pages, yeah. no one's ever going to find you, and you're going to be in a race to the bottom to try and drop price to just try and fill your occupancy. And if you scroll through, they all look exactly the same. And I can tell you the name of each one of these bits of IKEA furniture from the amount of times I've been around the shop and seen them myself. So don't go in and do the same as everyone else. It's a crowded market. You can stand apart if you do the right things.
So what about Facebook Marketplace?
I have not used it too much myself. I know people that have had some success with it.
We use that a lot.
Do you? Really?
It's so... Because you know what happens? People buy a sofa and it will be no warranty or anything like that. And then after a month, the circumstances have changed. They'll move out or something will happen. And they've got like a £3,000 sofa. Yeah. And they'll just sell it for £1,000 and just get out whatever.
That's an interesting thought, actually. I think I should probably revisit that.
And you're right about making it different. It's got a pop, hasn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. You'll be scrolling through and you'll see the same grey kind of looking furniture all the way down. But to maximise your engagement, even if people can't necessarily afford to stay at your place, it's like how people kind of window shop on Rightmove. Mm. You'll get people clicking on an interesting looking property and have a scroll through your photos. And Airbnb registers that engagement, and that will give you a little boost on the algorithm as well.
So making it look a bit of Shazam.
Yeah, without a doubt, yeah.
So people look at it, it's almost like, you know, Airbnb porn.
Yeah, exactly.
Just looking at it go, look at that. That's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's various algorithm hacks that we've picked up over time and that we use to get you boosted from when you first put your property online to getting you in that top 10 as you scroll down on Airbnb. And it is about, number one, they push hard to make sure that your customer service is on point. So your reviews and your comments, but also your calendar being full and other types of engagement too. So you having a property that looks different, looks chic and is interesting, people clicking on that really helps.
Yeah, have you had any guests that have not paid or have been a nightmare and you've had to go and get them out physically?
Once, actually. Oh, only the once.
Oh, tell me. Did you have to literally go up, turn up yourself?
I didn't turn up myself.
Of course and you
shout,
didn't.
Shout out
you
to
sent
the,
your wife?
No, I didn't send my wife.
Who'd you send?
God help them if she'd have gone. I sent someone with a much more level head.
who'd you send?
Kieran from the Academy.
Didn't send Kieran.
I got on the phone to Kieran and said,
again, if you don't know Kieran, he's been on Winners on a Wednesday and you would not want to... You wouldn't want to fight him, would you?
No. And to be honest with you as well, he was so professional and good. He was convinced me to let these guys actually stay in the flat.
What?
He felt that bad for them. Yeah, so...
He's a compassionate killer.
He is, without a doubt, without a doubt. So these guys had... it turns out they were filming a rap video, but I saw them running around in the corridors.
The police
had been called up to the apartment. So I saw this going on, spoke to Kieran. He went round and had a word with them. And because they'd rented out equipment to film in the penthouse, they'd paid the stay. The guy was like, look, please, can I just pay you some more money? I'll get rid of all of these extras that are causing a scene if I can just stay the evening. And Kieran got on the phone to me and said, no, I think these are good guys, you know.
Kieran would have joined in. Yeah. He'd be like, I'm going to be in the rap video.
It turned out to be quite funny.
So hang on. I asked you, right, what's the worst experience have you ever had to kick anybody out? And you tell me some great story about some rappers feeling. That sounds like a cool guest. Yeah. I'd be up for that.
It's very, very important to investors and landlords when we're doing rent-to-rents that they have confidence that it isn't going to be used as a party pad. And we have got a few different ways that we're able to deter that from happening. And we give a warning shot in our welcome message as well about the consequences of having a party there. And you will be escorted off by security and you will pay for their time to do that. We camera everything up with Ring doorbells. We've got what's called a minute device that listens out for decibels inside the property. So generally speaking, we're really, really tight on making sure that doesn't happen in the first place so that we don't have
to
have
this
kind of problems.
Can I just say though, Niall, that is so important because if you have parties, not only can it trash the place, it can also, if it's a rent-to-rent, your landlord can suddenly say you're in breach and it can ruin the property. Yeah. You're going to get all kinds of bad reviews. You're going to have neighbours trying. It can ruin things. So having those things in place, not only is it going to protect your business, but also you can use it, I know you will already, as a sales technique.
Yep.
So when you're trying to get landlords to give you their properties and they go, oh, I'm not sure, I don't want parties, and oh, I've had a bad experience, you can go, hang on a minute. We've got this in place, this in place, this in place, this in place. These are the measures and checks that we take. And it just instills so much trust, which makes it so much easier to get the deal in the first place.
Yeah, I definitely think so. It's our ethos anyway, but we want to be as transparent as possible. And we will say to landlords, if we're in breach of contract, you can kick us out and we've got to be gone within a matter of days, not a matter of months, like a regular tenant. So if there's something going on at the property that you're not comfortable with and it breaches the contract, by all means service our notice and I'll get out because I haven't done right by you in allowing that to happen.
Yeah.
So we tell them that they are welcome to kick us out if we do breach.
If you don't pay the rent or if you breach the contract.
Which then puts the onus on us to deliver like a stellar service and make sure that we're on top of issues that arise with guests and things.
What are you most excited about?
Good question, because we kind of accomplished everything that we set out to achieve 12 months ago. And then we've had to kind of start with a blank slate, really, and say, where do we want the business to go in the next 2 years, 5 years? Where do we see it going? So in terms of what we're excited about, we've got some big plans in expanding the current serviced accommodation business. I think that longer term, and I say longer term, next six to 12 months, we would be interested in looking at apart hotels and working with investors to work on, say, a block of apartments rather than doing them one at a time or in developments where we're just dealing with a smaller area. So that's something we want to seriously move into at the start of next year. And we want to start developing our portfolio for the properties that we actually own as well. We spent so much time, this year on this side of the business. Once we get our BRR through and the cash back out of that, we're seeing some other people do some amazing things up north with properties.
You know what I would be doing if I was you as well? You're recycling your cash really good.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got your little pot of cash. Buy a house, refurb it, refinance it, get your pot back, keep the house for free. Do it again. What I would be doing as well is I would be using your experience and your track record that you've got and bringing in more investors to grow your development business, your BRR side of things. And I'll be doing slightly bigger deals on the BRR side of things as well.
Yeah, that's what we got in mind, to be honest with you. And that's...
Next 12 months, John. As well as scaling your serviced accommodation and your rent-to-rent.
Yes, yeah. And that, again, that brings us back to why we started taking on a team in the first place, so that I don't have to, I can work, what's the expression, on the business, not in the business.
Yeah. Got people. And the team gives you credibility, because if you're trying to get money from investors and do things and you say, look, this is our offices, we've got staff there 9 to 5, it just adds a little extra level of credence, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, thank you.
What's it been like working with me then over the year?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, it's been, like I keep saying, but such an adventure over the last 12 months. And I've just had so much fun along the way as well. And it's just amazing to look back. And we've had some real moments, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we have. I remember saying to you, you need to stand up and pitch for investment. Yeah. Do you remember that dinner?
Yeah.
Like, stand up, man.
Yeah.
You're saying, Sammy, do you know any investors? I'm like, yep. 300 investors this time, this place, stand up, pitch.
That was it, yeah.
Shout out to your wife. Wife's name?
Sophie.
Sophie. I know she's massively been an integral part of the business.
Literally, we are such a team together. It just literally wouldn't happen without both of us. I'm the numbers guy. I push things around on the spreadsheets, but she comes in with the vision for the properties and basically lays it out in front of me. And then it's my job to try and go and make it happen, really.
Who do you want to see on Winners on a Wednesday that's not been on yet? Because there's loads of people we can pull.
Do you know what you say that? I'm actually the kind of group of people that started the academy at the same time as me. I'm almost the last one to go on that's doing really well. You've had Finn, you've had Billy, you've had Adam Hindley, Adriana you've had on, High Living were just before me as well.
Yeah.
So all the people that I started out with, and we're all like...
What do you think of that? What do you think of the success rate on the academy? Is it not a bit nuts?
I just don't know how anyone can question it, given that fact. And like me speaking from the inside, there's just a list of names that we all started at literally the same time. And out of all of them, I'm the last one to come on here. And it's not even just like a little bit as well. It's not even like modest, like, you know, they're financially free and they're like, you know... They're all absolutely smashing.
Yeah, like 40, 50, 60 grand a month.
Like money, I think that this is why it's so good to do these things, because it's the type of money that people don't realize you can be making at 23, 24 years of age until you see someone else start from scratch and go ahead and do it. And then like they're all so... They're just great people. They're also personable. Like, they're just great to get on with.
Yeah, because Charlotte's like 23.
Charlotte's 23. Yeah. Yeah. Finn was 19 or something like that when he started the academy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just, you think like, wow, if they can do it, just why can't I? You know? And then, it just breaks your reality when you see other people.
It does. And also, who you're around is who you become. If you're around winners, you'll be a winner. If you're around losers, you'll be a loser. That's just the basics of it. So I'm really glad you're doing the academy.
Yeah.
And I'm really pleased with your success. I love that you've got the different things going on with the BRRs, the service accommodation, now the management. I'm going to leave your Instagram bio and everything in the link. Where are you at on Instagram?
At Windale Living.
At
Windale. Is it
Windale Living. We'll put that in the description.
And what we're interested in, people reaching out to us, if they would like to invest in BRRs with us, it's something we'll, as I said, be looking at something a bit more ambitious in the coming months. If they're a landlord that is struggling with their property at the minute, that is not making the money they want with their tenants.
with the interest rates.
That's exactly what we're seeing our business growing to an extent. If there's landlords out there that want to get in touch with us that want to make a bit more of their property and would like to see kind of premium level incomes coming from that, and just anyone that needs any help from the academy, get in touch as well. We'll always do our level best to give you pointers and hand up where we can.
And I'll tell you something interesting as well, Niall. You came down, I think it was the £1 crash course.
Yes.
In beginning of 2018. And you did a lot from that.
Yeah.
So what would you say to someone watching this?
I booked a day's holiday from work to go down and do it. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. And that was in Birmingham, right?
Yes, in Birmingham, yeah.
So what would you say to someone that's one click away right now? Because in the description, there's the crash course. It's live right now in Birmingham. That's thinking, should I spend a day with Samuel at the £1 crash course? You did pretty well off of it before even joining the academy. Yeah. What would you say to somebody?
If you're seriously considering investing and you look at the return on investment you can get from the spending of a pound and a day or two out of your life, like infinite returns on investment, like what would be stopping you? I don't think you're serious about investing if that would be a stopper to you actually going and getting on.
And then sure, when you're at the crash course, if you want to invest in further education, mentoring, whatever it is, amazing, but at least come to the £1 course. Just spend a day having your eyes open to what's possible and seeing the different strategies in motion and meeting a bunch of positive people.
And how many people from the academy go down and crew? I mean, there's people that we've mentioned already. I know Billy, Kieran, have all done the
Billy's done well.
Yeah, Billy, fantastic. Again, Billy, another one that started roughly the same time as me as well.
Yeah, property millionaire.
And they'll be there, so you can ask them about their experiences and get direct answers straight from the horse's mouth. So
Well, Niall, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on. Look forward to seeing your next assistance who getting me here as well.
Love, bro. Thank you so much. Cheers.